Together this afternoon. Nice job, Reese. That was a lot of fun. There's four flats in that thing. That's not an easy deal, and he nailed it. So that was really cool. The words, man. Anyway, Sacred Selections. That's really something else. What they've done to the words on a lot of these songs. what's wrong with Relieved? You know, Grace appears relieved. Like, that's how it is everywhere else. Anyway, okay, we'll get focused here. It is really good to be together here on the Lord's Day. I'm excited to be able to share with everybody. I'm excited to be able to fellowship, to be able to be encouraged, to be edified as we go out into the upcoming week. And are victorious. Really appreciated the thoughts that Jeremy brought for Sunday school this afternoon. Great message. You know, our focus really does need to be on glory. And as we focus on glory, that makes the rest of our life really clear. It prioritizes and puts into place exactly where things need to go. And as our faith continues to grow, those things cement in, right? And we become, we see things from God's perspective more and more clearly. See, a lot of times we lack perspective, but we lack perspective because we're not seeing things the way that God would have us to see them. And so we want to make sure that our perspective lines up with His perspective, and then we really can be super effective for Him. Really also appreciated Andy's thoughts around the table as he shared with us the psalm and that idea of loving kindness that we have with the Father, the grace that He has shown to us. Last week we talked about transitions and we talked about intentionality. You know, school is coming about, you know. Rachel's talking about how she's working on lesson plans, you know, and school is coming up, right? A lot of transitions are happening in this place, and there's habits that we recognize will either work for us or they will work against us. And so I hope that we each took the time to evaluate and then to choose a new habit that will work for our family, that will work for our situation, that you had the conversation on the way home, or you had the conversation after the kids went to bed, or whatever it was that, you know, there's something that we've started this past week. You know, we evaluate and then we choose habits that are realistic and practical, and then we implement those habits. You know, and it's okay to adjust. Sometimes we aren't nearly as practical and realistic as we think we are, right? Hey, that's the way that it goes. I think that this is, oh yeah, I can do this, because you've got the excitement of something, starting something new. I think that this is how a lot of people are wired, but it's easy for me to start something, right? Oh, let's start. That'll be fun, right? It'd be a great idea, and it's easy to start something. It's a whole other thing to finish it. So, you know, I've had to work on that personal discipline, and as Jeremy was bringing out, I've had to implement into my life, okay, begin with the end in mind. What is the vision? Is there a lot of important, good things that we can do? But is that the most effective use of our time, energy, money, contacts, or people and organization? You know, it has to take some evaluation to decide what that is. And honestly, just where I'm at, guys, in my life, I don't have time to begin things that I'm not going to end. That's just discouraging to me, right? So let's start the things that, but sometimes I start something and think, oh, this is realistic and practical. And then I'm a couple weeks into it, I'm like, whoa. Adjustment time, right? Let's have that, okay? Instead of 3 days a week, let's cut that back to 1 day a week, and let's go from there. So just some encouragement for us all as we have kind of looked at those things and where we can start some new habits that go along with our transition in this season. Don't be afraid to be a little bit more realistic and more practical and adjust. Don't, especially when we're beginning something, don't fool yourself into necessarily thinking that it's always a discipline issue. Okay? Discipline does come into effect. Okay? When we have chosen something, we need to discipline ourselves to finish those things. Okay? But if we've started unrealistically, okay, if we've started unrealistically and then say, well, this is what we decided, so now we gotta finish it. No, guys, you're teaching yourself to be discouraging and self-sabotaging, and none of us want to do that, right? So, we are where we're at, and that's just fine. You know, and that takes some of that honesty that we were talking about. We talked about this a couple of months ago about David and how he had to be absolutely honest. And we used the example of Gordon Hayward and how with Gordon Hayward, you know, he was at a certain place as a freshman in high school, a guy who might not even be able to make the varsity team. But as he took one more step forward, then Gordon Hayward gets to the point where Gordon Hayward's an NBA All-Star. The same thing is true spiritually. We are at a certain place, and that's just fine. But it's going to take a number of consecutive steps to get ourselves where we want to be. And it doesn't really matter, in some senses, where we wish we were at. That's just a waste of our mental resources. We have mental resources and a limited amount of mental energy as well. And what that does when we're just focused on where we wish we were at, it creates a mindset of distortion or discouragement. I've seen this a lot of times as I work with people, and some of us who have tendencies towards perfectionism, okay, this is the bad kind of perfectionism, okay, those that have perfectionistic tendencies, okay, a lot of times we can try to speed up that process. And it doesn't really do any good because you're faced with two things. Number one, you're judging based upon performance, and it's not measuring up, not measuring up, not measuring up. Well, people don't continue to do things that discourage them. The second thing that can happen is we can distort the reality. You don't want to do that either. Distortion of the reality looks like, oh, I can't think of a great example offhand, but the example that comes to my mind right away is Michael Jordan at the end of his career. Right? Michael Jordan at the end, in Michael Jordan's mind, when he's playing for the Wizards, okay? In Michael Jordan's mind, he's still that guy who's taken off from the foul line, throwing it down. The reality is, towards the end of his career, he couldn't buy a jump shot because his knees were shot. His, you know, he'd have glimpses, but the reality was distorted, and he saw things differently in his mind. For you kids, too, Michael Jordan could have taken a LeBron any day of the week, but that's another story. and it was because of what was up here. Anyway, we don't want to distort that reality. But where we are is just fine. In the, as Jeremy was pointing out in Sunday school, it's about the next step forward. And it doesn't matter if that step is big or it's small. The point is take the next step. I liked his example about Cumberland College. And actually, I can identify a lot with Cumberland College. The Bozeman Christian Patriots were the basketball team that I was a part of. And I really feel bad and appreciate at the same time Mr. Matt Wilson. Because not only did he have to put up with us punks in school, okay, he was also our basketball coach. Okay, and so we had a varsity basketball team. Now, our varsity basketball team, I don't think ever had more than 10 players on the team, and we would raid the junior high too. Okay, so if you were a boy that age, there was an intense amount of pressure that you're going to play basketball, right? So it didn't matter if you had talent. It didn't matter if you could play. You were a boy and you were in junior high. You're playing ball, right? So our varsity team has seventh graders on it. And not good seventh graders on it, right? They're the poor seventh graders on this team. So I'm sure that he wished that he could, you know, start putting in an offense on the first practice or start running complex drills. But we had a hard enough time. We couldn't do three-man weave. We could not do three-man weave because that would require a player both catching the ball and then also passing the ball and understanding that they were supposed to run behind the guy that they threw to. It's a lot for a seventh grader who's never touched a basketball before. It really is. To expect that seventh grader who hasn't really touched a basketball before to understand and make his body do what his mind, like if his mind happens to catch the concept, then he's actually got to make his body do it. And if you've, no offense, any, hey, you're in eighth grade, right? So that's the youngest one here. We're good. So seventh grade boys, motor skills, especially that haven't played any sports, it can be rough, okay? And so three-man weave is out of the question, right? So very first practice, where do we start? 20 right-hand dribbles. Okay? 20 left-hand dribbles. Now we do a crossover. And this is like the first couple of weeks, right? This is like, oh my goodness. We're varsity. We're varsity. So I can relate to Cumberland College because we were always, we never had any depth. Okay? Our best year, we had... Our best year, we had about four guys that could play okay. Okay? And then the fifth guy, I mean, you could basically not guard him, but we never had any depth. Never had any depth. And so, we have the four guys. So we're good enough that we make the state tournament. But we're never good enough that we're anything but the last seed at the state tournament. So all three of my years, we were the number four seed out of four in our in our division. And so we were playing a team called Valley Christian. Now, Valley Christian was only in the league because they got suspended from the public school for recruiting. So Valley Christian was big enough to be like a Class B school, which is equivalent to our about Division II. Okay, our Division II, our Division III, versus Bozeman Christian, school population of 45 or 50, and we're going against Valley Christian. Our goal going into that game was to keep them under 100 points. They were really confused. A minute and a half left to go in the fourth quarter. They had 98 points. We got a steal. And we went into a stall, baby. We're down 98 to 33, and we're going four quarters, right? They're like, what are you guys doing? We're like, we're going to meet our goal. We're going to get this thing done. It's 98 to 33. We were so pumped when we got that steal. We were so pumped. I'm sure that Matt Wilson really wish that he, you know, he was a good coach. He didn't have much to work with, right? But what he did was he worked with what he had. He understood that he couldn't will us into being a better team. He had to give us the tools to be able to take those next steps. He saw, okay, this is where we're at. So, 20 right-hand dribbles. Okay, 20 left. Now walk and do 20 right-hand dribble. Okay, hey, that's where you're at. It's where you're at. Okay, that's the way our basketball program was, and that's what most kids are doing in the, you know, second grade. But where we were at. Well, the same thing is true for us spiritually as we evaluate, and then we take the next step where we're at, and any sort of mental energy wishing that we could be a part of the three-man weave is wasted, right? It's completely and totally wasted. And so we take the next step and then move forward. And then we each do that on an individual level too. One of the other things that Mr. Matt was tremendous at, okay, he was tremendous at developing the individual player. He was tremendous at developing the individual player so that a kid like me, who I came in there as a sophomore, okay, a kid like me who came in as a sophomore who hadn't played any organized basketball before, by the time that I'm a senior, he's developed a pretty good basketball player. Well, it had to do with his development. Well, don't we have the perfect coach as well? Isn't he perfectly interested in our development? Well, of course, that coach then isn't, he isn't going to give us or expect from us more than what we can give. Let's go to 1 Timothy 1:5. We referenced this last week, and I want to go back there because we were talking about Lois and Eunice and their influence on Timothy. First Timothy 1:5. But the goal of our instruction is love from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. The goal of our instruction. We can be intentional and have specific goals that we are pursuing. We need to be intentional. Paul said, look, the goal of our instruction is love from a pure heart, okay? A clean conscience and a sincere faith. The goal of our instruction. I'm going to give you this instruction so that this is what your end is, okay? This is what we're looking to get. So again, begin with the end in mind. What we're looking to get is a pure love from a pure heart, a clean conscience, and a sincere faith. That's the goal. That's the end that we're looking for in this case. Okay, and then that's also to be Timothy's goal of his instruction to the people that he discipled. What are you looking for? Well, we're looking for love from a pure heart, a good conscience, and a sincere faith. Well, you know, it's a pretty good goal to have. It's a great goal to have. You know, we've all heard the, the old phrase, I didn't set any goals this week and I achieved them all, right? We've all heard people say that. But what we're trying to produce within ourselves, what are we trying to produce in ourselves, in our disciples, in our kids, within those people that we talked about last week was our sphere of influence. What's the goal? What's the point? Well, the point is love from a pure heart, okay, a clean conscience, and a sincere faith. Well, those things are going to be accomplished. This goes exactly hand in hand with what we were talking about earlier. Those things are only going to be accomplished by having our focus on what? Christ and glory. And the faith picture implemented securely or cemented securely in our mind. Okay. The goal of our instruction. What are we trying to produce within our sphere of influence? Are we trying to produce those who are free to use their initiative and their creativity to fulfill their role in the body? I think so. Because that is opposed, okay, to that idea of people who are using their initiative and creativity to fulfill their role in the body, that is opposed to unthinking acceptance of imposed standards. Okay? Unthinking acceptance of imposed standards does not produce a people who are taking initiative and fulfilling their role in the body and going after how God has blessed them with their talents. Even with physical exercise, which again is very objective, okay, it's one thing to run lines because Coach Wilson tells us to, okay? It's another thing that when you're personally committed and dedicated to getting into the best shape of your life. So if you're, okay, it's time to run lines, so now I'm going to run lines. That's one thing. It's another thing that says, man, I want to get into the best shape of my life. Well, then that permeates the rest of your life. Because if you're just running lines to run lines because it's time to now run lines, well, practice gets over. Opening up the Mountain Dew, right? Drinking that. I mean, I've been in high school. I know how it went, right? A few of us one time before practice thought it would be a great idea to try to drink energy drinks before practice because energy drinks give you energy, right? Yeah, not so much, right? And so in the same way, if we're just doing what it's time to do or what we think would be a good idea to do right now or what we've been told is the right thing to do, you might get some results for a little while. You don't get any long-term results. You don't get any people that are internally motivated. Well, we want people who are self and internally motivated because there is a law of liberty that they are living by. You know, when I want to be in the best shape of my life, I order things around that goal and make things line up with that goal. So it's not just about running the individual line, but when I'm walking in the store, I'm thinking about, you know, flexing my abs. Oh, yep, no, they're still not there, right? And I'm thinking about it in everything. I'm not taking the pop. I'm choosing the water, right? Well, those things line up and go through, and then it's my personal initiative that is creating the result that I want to meet that goal. See, the goal of our instruction is this. I think we all have been around long enough to recognize that love from a pure heart, a clean conscience, and a sincere faith doesn't just happen. It doesn't happen without intentionality. Like, you can even have really good motives and have that thing fall short. You can have, hey, I understand theoretically where we need to go and that's what we want. That can still fall short. If we don't take the in-between steps to get from where we're at currently to where we want to go, that becomes running lines when coach says to run lines. And that doesn't get us the results that we want. So that's where setting our goals and having the instruction come in really comes into place. I think I might have mentioned this example before. I'm not sure. In Wauseon, we had a terrible Sunday school program for a while. And the Sunday school program, it's not so much that it was terrible. The teachers were doing a good job, but we hadn't given the teachers a platform. We hadn't given the teachers what they needed to be successful. And so, you know, and there wasn't even a point person. Like, there wasn't anybody in charge. We didn't have any material to give for them. And, you know, there started to be questions, and nobody knew how to handle the question, and it just wasn't great, right? And so it was brought to my attention, and we had a discussion, and okay, I'll stop Sunday school for a while, okay? And then we're going to look with a whole new way and a whole new perspective at Sunday school, and let's take some time to figure out, okay, how can the Sunday school program for the kids be as good as possible? Because where we were at, we were having a Sunday school program. The kids were going. They were in there for the 45 minutes. They were having lesson. They were having class. It was something. But the end result, okay, was too broad. It wasn't narrow enough. It was filling time. We had a Sunday school program because we thought we were supposed to have a Sunday school program. Right? That's really not a good enough reason. It's because we've always had a Sunday school program. Now, we restarted the Sunday school program, and the reason why we restarted the Sunday school program is because it is important But we needed to make sure that we were doing it with a narrow and specific focus to be able to set the teachers up for success, so that then we can also set the kids up for success to know exactly what we're trying to produce. And we're trying to produce, okay, love from a pure heart, a good conscience, and a sincere faith. So as I was writing up the vision and the what we believe as a Sunday school program, okay, what is it exactly that we're trying to produce? What's that look like? Well, under one of the headings, the heading of discipline, okay, I'll just read you basically the beginning of what I have. Number one, a joyful environment, okay? You will ensure a safe, secure, nurturing, clean, and efficient environment to care for our children. So this is being addressed to the teachers, and the teachers, instead of getting assigned, volunteered, and there's a whole thing. If you're interested, we can talk about it, but I'm using it for illustrative purposes this afternoon, because under the context of discipline, okay, what we're talking about is safe, secure, nurturing, clean, and efficient environment. What I'm trying to get at there, okay, is you find what you're looking for. Okay, we all find what we're looking for. Brenna and I have been looking to get more of a family car here recently, okay, something that isn't the size of a tuna can, and something that has, is it an Intrepid that I have? Yeah. My Intrepid, okay, is not exactly the most reliable car in the world, so we've been looking to buy a new-to-us car, okay? Man, I don't know how people are going to get around, because everybody has their car for sale. I mean, I am seeing cars for sale everywhere. Everybody's got it out front of their road. You know, I'm going different ways to go home because I know about different cars that are for sale. Everybody's got their car for sale. Now, does everybody really have their car for sale? No, not at all. But what? I'm looking for it, right? I am looking for cars for sale. So every single car for sale out there, okay, I see it. My eyes are wide open. Everybody has their car for sale. Okay, in the same way, okay, we find what we are looking for. When we look for joy and positive things to encourage in those we influence, we find them. Our sphere of influence, okay? If you're looking for something to encourage, if you're looking something to uplift, you're going to find it. You're going to find those good qualities. You're going to emphasize those good qualities. You know, it'd be a fun experiment to run at your house this week. Try to find something good. Try to find as many good things each day with your family as you can. It's easy, man. The bad things stick out like a sore thumb. They're hard. For me personally, they're hard to miss. Okay? But that just means I need to have my mind a little bit retrained a little bit better. What am I looking for? Am I looking for those bad things? No. Especially within my sphere of influence. These things are easy, but we're trying to give a picture of who the people that we influence are. Trying to help them along with that faith picture. So we're going to see the positive things in different people. You know, I am personally, let's just use a quick example here. I'm personally really encouraged. Okay, Davey and Sue are in Connersville, right? With the saints there, encouraging the saints there, and make it a specific point to be back here in the assembly. That's an encouragement. That's easy to just, oh yeah, whatever. You know. No. That's important, right? Makes a difference. So what are we seeing? It's easy to see the negative. My second point within this illustration of Sunday school is redirection. I'll read you again what I had. We only had the kids for a short period of time. Set up the necessary rules to keep your classroom functioning efficiently. but try to keep breaking the rules down to a minimum. If there's an issue, remove an obstacle, redirect a child, and then refer the challenge to either a teacher or to Mr. Harbor. See, my Sunday school class is 6 to 11-year-olds, right? Okay, if I am trying to micromanage the behavior of 6 to 11-year-olds, okay, and I already have in my mind exactly what that should look like, right? I'm just going to be correcting the whole time, right? So I need to be proactive, outsmart these wonderful little children, and figure out a way, okay, to be able to get them so that they are set up for success. It's way more important that, oh, no, keep your hands to yourself. No, well, maybe I should spend some time about, okay, I can order them in a way, okay, that's going to set, okay, they want to stay away from that kid as much as possible anyway, so I don't have to worry about the hands to yourself in that case, right? You can outsmart the kids in that way and redirect it. Because the last thing we want, especially for our kids, is to be giving negative messages. Oh, I always do everything wrong, right? Kids are getting that all the time anyway. What we can give to them is redirection, okay? Redirection, removing an obstacle before it becomes a problem, right? And then setting that thing up for success. Well, in the same way, that's true for us individually, right? It's true for us individually. As we look towards our own personal lives, okay, it's not necessarily about correcting ourselves. I was having a conversation earlier today with an individual, and you know, she was kind of feeling bad about something that took place this past week. You know, I tried to give her a different perspective on it because she's a really good-hearted lady that was doing a really, and she just got caught off guard, man. She got caught off guard. I was like, hey, you know what? You know what to do next time. And really, I think you did better than what you think you did. So she thought she did something sinful, and it was a tough situation. I said, you know what? It sounds to me like you were acting in faith. You were preserving and protecting a relationship that was important to you. You were stuck in a situation that was really sticky. You did the best thing you knew how. I don't care what the implications are. God, no. Is God able to work through even really sticky situations that we find ourselves stuck in? Okay? And so, it's important that we remove the obstacles that are in our path, redirect ourselves, and then refer the challenge up the chain to our Heavenly Father. Finally, in conclusion, the goal for our kids, the goal for ourselves, the goal for our disciples, the goal for our families, the goal for those within our sphere of influence remains love from a pure heart. We want to reinforce the faith pictures of who they really are. We want them to view themselves as good. As good and in relationship with authority, even when they mess up. And worthy of being valued and valuable. See, it's important that they see themselves as disciples. Let me use that example that I just used. There's a good relationship there, right? If she thought, okay, and like I said, this is a sticky situation. If she thought I was going to get on her case, okay, for doing what she did, is she going to have the dialogue with me about that conversation, about that situation? No, she already feels bad about it. She already thinks that she messed up a whole lot worse than I think she messed up. I don't think she messed up, right? She thinks she did. But if she thinks that my reaction is going to be, well, you know that the Bible says, I don't need to talk to you, right? I feel bad enough already. If we can have a dialogue, yeah, understanding, we can work through that thing, okay, then we can we can really implement or help encourage the faith picture that we each need to have. You know, it's important that we show that, especially those of us who are in leadership or in authority of any kind, because the way that we relate to authority a lot of times is the way that we relate to God. So, in the same way, if we lose relationship, if our kids lose relationship when they disappoint us, how are they going to think that God is going to relate to them later on? God's going to pull away from me, right? No. When we mess up, God wants us to confidently approach the throne of grace, right? That's what we want to create within our sphere of influence. So my encouragement is be intentional. Start that new habit with all of our back-to-school transitions. Set a goal that will encourage pure hearts, clean consciences, and a sincere faith. As we noted last week, it's worth it. Take a look at Timothy, because I see Timothy's all around this room. I see Lois's and Eunice's all around this room. It's worth it, okay? But as Jeremy brought out in his Sunday school, okay, that work, okay, takes time and patience. There's no shortcut in that thing. No shortcut in that thing. So we can be Timothys, and we can help create more Timothys, and we can create more Loises, and we can create more Eunices as we look to have pure hearts, good consciences, and sincere faith. Jeremy?
477. 477.